You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who likes to dine and dash, Pete Chwaba.
Welcome back. I was laughing so hard because last week we had a guest on the show. Do you remember this guy, Conrad? His name was Miles Kristen, and he was supposed to talk about a film festival.
Yeah.
And we booked him, but he had a conflict, and he manages a supper club, and he says, I can only stay for a minute because I'm managing a supper club. And the whole time I'm talking to him, I'm just thinking about all these people dining and dashing or helping themselves to booze while he's on with me talking about the Stoughton Film Festival. Beautiful stuff. Love the dine and dash. Welcome back to the show, folks. My name is Pete Chwaba. Mike Siegel is here as my guest. Kelly Peterson joins me here in studio at 7:20 to talk about her film, her documentary about the Ukraine and many other things. Kelly's dad was a famous, grandfather was ran a very big production company and was responsible for many sitcoms in the 1960s. So we'll do that. We'll read your text. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? And that's what Mike and I are talking about right now. Mike Siegel is the host of the Travel Tales podcast and a very funny comedian and TV host as well. So two for five?
You were about 2 for 5, I think.
Ooh, that's not good. All right.
Yeah.
So we're talking about Fast Times at Ridgemont High, an iconic, awesome comedy, maybe the teen comedy of teen comedies. And I have some questions here for Mike. So let's get to those right now. Conrad, you got the thing ready? Our little bell and whistle, literally. Mike, are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. Mike Siegel, host of the Travel Tales podcast, world traveler, comedian, stumped me. I have to give it back to you. But you're a guest, so I was going to like kind of go easy on you, but I wrote a couple questions during the break that might give you pause. So we'll see. All right.
Okay.
What excuse did Spicoli give Mr. Hand as to why he was late for class?
There was a crazy line at the food machines or something, right? There was an insane line at the food machines.
That was like the add-on, but his first line.
Just couldn't get there on time. Just couldn't make it.
I will accept that. Just couldn't make it on time, Mr.
Just couldn't make it.
So great. All right, Mike is, well, we'll say 1 for 1. Number two, this is kind of a rhetorical question. Where the hell were the parents during this whole movie? Mike?
You have to ask me that again, Pete. Sorry.
Did I cut out?
Yeah, I think it's me. Sorry about that.
I said, where the hell were the parents throughout this whole movie? I don't think you see one parent like, all right.
Now she's Spicoli's little brother. That's it.
Oh, that's right. Curtis.
Yeah.
I only hear you if you knock, Curtis.
If you knock. That's better. Entree.
Entree. All right. Mike is 2 for 2. Number 3, what does Judge Reinhold say when Phoebe Cates walks in on him in the bathroom? Remember, we're on the radio. You don't have to say the F-bomb part. Okay.
Okay. Doesn't anyone effing knock?
Bleeping knock anymore. Mike is 3 for 3. He's destroying this quiz.
What was the second one?
Where are the parents? I gave you that one. That was a freebie. I appreciate your time. So. Okay. I like to make guests look good. So, all right. We've got three more here. What famous actors played Sean Penn's fellow stoners and buddies?
Oh, that would be Eric Stoltz and Anthony Edwards.
Yes, very impressive.
Yeah,
that's a good one. See, I thought maybe Eric Stoltz always comes to mind, but I always forget about Anthony Edwards. That was very well done.
Yeah, it's confusing because he has hair. That's why he has long hair.
And he's not in surgery, pretend surgery.
Right.
All right, number 5. What band did Spicoli hire with his reward money for saving Brooke Shields from drowning to play his birthday party?
Oh, is that in the credits?
Yes.
I think he, I almost said the Stones because he said that in the dream sequence.
Oh, yeah.
In the interview, but I think it's Van Halen.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
My fa- I love that.
Because they asked him, what's he going to do with the prize money? I'm going to go to London and jam with the Stones.
But I love when he says to the Stu, the interviewer, Stu after Nahan. The surfing contest, he says, hey, where'd you get this jacket? Stu just blows him off and goes, oh, the network gave it to me. Jeff. So great.
He's great in that. It's like, he's great. It's like, and he goes, oh, those guys are F's. And it's right. Like, and Stu just goes, ha ha, fantastic. All right.
All right. Number five. What did Mark Ratner purchase just to talk to a girl? And remember, he gets teased about this by Damone.
He had a crush on a girl at the photo mat, so he bought like, you know, $10,000 worth of film or some crazy, no, $100 worth of film, and he didn't even have a camera.
He bought $40 worth of film, Rat. You don't even own a camera. That's correct. All right. Mike is 6 for 6. One more question here for you, Mike. What kind of car did Jefferson have that was totaled by Spicoli and Jefferson's younger brother? And bonus point, if you can name the year.
It was Trans Am. I know.
Ooh,
that.
Close.
It's a Firebird? It's a Trans Am?
It's like the twin brother.
Or
of
is
the
it
Trans-
a Camaro?
Yes.
Okay, it's Camaro.
And a bonus point, if you can guess the year.
A year, I don't know. If it was new, I mean, the movie came out in 82, so maybe it was an 81, 82.
Well, we'll give you that one. It was a 79 Camaro. That's fantastic.
Sweet ride, pal. So you sweet did, ride. I was... You can't fix this car, Spicoli. My old man's got an ultimate set of tools. I can fix it. Pete, I had one bonus question for you.
Oh, yeah.
This is super hard.
Lay it on me.
You have to, if you can remember, Damone's 5-point plan of talking to women.
First thing you do, wherever you are.
I had to write these down.
Wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this
great?
Yeah,
that's number three.
That's number three. Compliment her.
Isn't this great?
Isn't this great? Is it compliment her?
No.
All right, here, I'll give you the ones I remember. Play Kashmir, Led Zeppelin, some Zeppelin too.
You're half right there.
Yeah.
Comes to making out side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
Side one of Led Zeppelin 4.
And then they cut to the scene when that's, you know, all the Zepp heads all complain because they're playing Kashmir in the car, which is not on Led Zeppelin 4. Right. So.
There all right, so it's that one. It's wherever you are, that's the place to be. Isn't this great?
Yeah, it's two of them.
And then something about order for her. The lady will have a Coke. I will have a Coke as well. Something like that.
I had to write it down. It's a great. Lady will have the linguine with white clam sauce and Coke with milk. And I'll have the same.
And what else? What's the other one?
The number one is, the first one is never let on how much you like a girl. It's like, oh, hi, Debbie. And he's talking about the cardboard cutout of Debbie Harry there. Oh, hi, Debbie.
Right.
That's one. And two is always call the shots. Kiss me. You won't regret it.
You won't regret it. Yes. Oh, I should have got that one. That one's great. Mike Siegel is here, folks. He is the host of the Travel Tales podcast and a very funny comedian and TV host and kind of does it all, Mike. You also do rewiring, don't you? Or you do nails or something. You got all kinds
rewiring.
Of
rewiring. Yeah. Got all I do HVAC, you know, anything you need, Pete.
Where can people see? I know you still do stand-up sporadically, but go to funnymike.com for more information. But where can people see you live anywhere?
If I'm in town, I'm mostly doing the Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach here.
Great club.
In LA, outside of LA. And it's mostly a lot of ships these days. So
other than
little local things, that's some private events, some one-off things. It's mostly a lot of cruises these days, and the Alaska season's about to start.
Wow. Are you on one of those huge cruises where it's like they have a water park on a ship?
I haven't done any of those mega ships, those 6,000 passenger ones. Though I wouldn't mind doing it once, only because they have a dedicated comedy club in those where you work with other comics. And usually I'm the only guy on the ship most of the time. So it'd be fun to work with other comics.
You know what would also be fun?
What's that?
Just all day, just do cannonballs into the pool or off the water slide. Isn't that the comedian? So what have you seen, Mike? What are you watching? Have you seen any movies or are you binge watching anything?
Oh, what did we just watch? I wouldn't give it a rave really, but I just watched the all 10 episodes of that Nathan Lane sitcom.
Nathan Lane.
Mid-century modern. It's on Hulu.
Oh, okay.
And it's from the guys who did Will and Grace.
Oh.
And of course Nathan Lane is great in it, but like, does it hold up as a whole? I don't know. We kind of watched it because a friend of my girlfriend's is one of the cameramen on it, and she knows a lot of people behind the scenes. So we got to check this out. And you ever watch something that's like after a couple episodes, you may not be digging it, but we got to stick it out.
Yes.
You know, we're going to have dinner with this guy. We should be able to ask some questions.
I have done that many times. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a good one. What about the movies? Have you seen anything?
I have not. Oh, I watched on the plane the new, the Bob Dylan one. Yeah.
Complete Unknown.
I enjoyed it.
I did too. Yeah. I thought it was great. Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times those rock biographies can be little hit or miss. And also sometimes it could be just total, oh, this is just a behind the music episode.
Right.
You know, and just kind of like, but this one I liked, and I thought the lead kid, that Timothy Chalamet, was great.
Yeah, he did
a really great job.
I like those movies better when they're about a certain time period. It's not like, oh, here's Bob Dylan as a baby. Nobody cares.
Right. If you try to cover the whole career, right. I mean, you're talking 60-year career there.
No, I like that a lot, too. I recommend to you, Mike, see Sinners if you get a chance. I really like that. I thought it was great.
I'm hearing good things. I'm hearing good things.
Any other famous or great comedy, teen comedies you want to throw out there before we let you go? Something you could recommend?
Teen comedies. Well, again, we're in the same era of you and I, but I can always quote 16 Candles.
Yeah.
It really rocked my world when it was there.
Absolutely.
That one I loved. And a lot of it is not, I guess, PC anymore.
Radio
but,
friendly. Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah.
For sure.
Some things just don't age as well, but...
We're thinking of a particular character from the Far East who is very funny and wore a red plaid suit and some of the funniest stuff. And you can't say it anymore, and that's fine. But, yeah, it's tough.
Yeah. Anthony Michael Hall in that movie is hysterical.
He's great.
It's absolutely hysterical.
Great movie. Mike, thank you so much, buddy. This is always fun.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Tell your significant other, I won't use her full name, but Piper.
Okay.
She always comes up as a Facebook friend suggestion. And I don't do that with women because I don't want women to get the wrong idea. Because just out of habit, I always ask them out right after I make a friend request. And I don't want to embarrass myself like that. So, but
Pete, I'd like you to keep your distance.
Okay, we'll do that. Buddy. All right, Michael, thanks you so much, buddy. Check out the Travel Tales podcast and go to funnymike.com. All great stuff. Thank you, pal.
Thanks, Pete.
You got it. That's Mike Siegel, folks. On the stream, I got to catch up here. Dave says History of the World Part One. That's just a great comedy. I don't know if it's a great teen comedy or not, but it's a great comedy. Well done, Dave. Dave also says any Cheech and Chong movie. Corsican Brothers. Yeah, great stuff. All right, we're coming right back. I've got an in-studio guest, folks. Award-winning filmmaker Kelly Peterson will be here next after a very short break. Great to have you with me on this Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Pete Schwab, great to have you with me on this gorgeous Monday night in the state of Wisconsin. Wherever you are listening across our fair state, fantastic, great to have you. Be part of the show, folks. Our question of the night is, what is your favorite teen movie? And we've gotten so many, I cannot believe the array of movies we've gotten, like dramas too. I always think comedy, but we've gotten some great drama submissions too. And Joseph knew it was Van Halen when I asked Mike that trivia question about who did Spicoli hire to play his birthday party after saving Brooke Shields from drowning. Joseph also says, Jen Jones, early Gen X, the cohort of absent parents. Yes, of course. I was asking where the parents were in Fast Times at Ridgemont High because they were non-existent. And that's why the tomfoolery was able to take place. So keep those texts coming, folks. I will read them on the radio and be part of the show. Thank you to Mike Siegel. And now we turn to my next guest. I'm excited. This is a first-time guest in the studio here. Kelly Peterson, an award-winning filmmaker and Northeastern Wisconsin resident, yes. And a friend of Kristen Lyerly's.
Yes,
she introduced us.
A good friend.
Yeah.
So thanks for that connection. Amazing.
Absolutely. I don't like Kristen personally, but she does really good work. So, no, she's fantastic. And you've been on her show, her new show. So let's give a plug for that.
Yeah. We were the second guest, Lana Nyland and I.
Oh.
We talked about a documentary I'm working on Lana on Ukraine. So it was really neat to chat about that.
Yeah. So let's start with that. You're a filmmaker, mm-hmm. and you're making this documentary about Ukraine. Mm-hmm. Tell us about Lana, and then tell us about what the story is.
So I guess I could go back a little bit to where before the full invasion happened, I was actually in Russia.
That is
with
crazy.
My husband. He's a pilot for a Legion, and so he's ex-military. So we've traveled all over.
Right.
And as ex-media and ex-military, that's one place we've always wanted to go, not knowingly everything that was happening at the time. But we knew, but not to that level. So we went to Russia. We went to Moscow and St. Petersburg, and you could feel a little bit of the tension. And a lot of people that we met there, they were from Ukraine. A lot of the Uber drivers, the bartenders, the people who worked in the hotels. So I thought, I don't know, why is this brotherly war happening for so long? So it was something that when I thought everybody knows everybody, we ended up going to Poland, leaving Russia. And that was when a woman came up to me. She was from Ukraine. And she said, I live in Mariupol, which is a border town, and a lot of the police in my town are they're at the border trying to protect my city. And that's when I really got involved with the Ukrainian war or the Russian war. And I met Lana through a colleague, and she's amazing. She delivers humanitarian aid to the front line, medical supplies, you name it. She's amazing. She was a dancer, and now she is, she's basically turned in her ballet shoes for a bulletproof vest.
Oh my gosh. So, all right, so that's our introduction to Lana. What made you say, she's so incredible, I'm going to make a documentary in kind of a dangerous part of the world and dedicate what is typically years of your life?
Her story is so powerful. What she did when the full invasion took place is she was taking animals in. She was risking her life to start this nonprofit called Ukrainian Patriot. And basically it helps get medical supplies to the front lines, not just to the soldiers, but to the people living in these war-torn countries that are bombed by Russia. And that was her mission, and it still is today. She moved to Ukraine. She's a Canadian, but she moved to Ukraine to dance with some of the most elite dancers. And when she was there watching tanks pull up near her apartment, and it was something that was, she knew at that moment, I'm no longer going to dance. I need to help my country.
That's incredible. So she's not a native of
the
Oh, wow.
She's not a native.
And that's almost more impressive that she decided to do that, and it's not even her native country.
And that's what's so amazing about Lana is that we now have an international board. So I sit as a chairwoman representing Ukrainian Patriot for the United States. But we also have people from all over the world that she's brought in to help Ukraine. And it's really, really echoed with her message. And so I'm following her story with everything that she's been helping with in Ukraine.
That's interesting, too, because you don't, I mean, or at least I don't think about, like, you think about war, you see the images on TV, what the people of Ukraine are going through. You don't think about the pets. I mean, or at least I'm not a pet owner, but I'm sure they're as traumatized by this as anybody, right?
At one point, she, I think, brought in 15 dogs into her small apartment in downtown Kyiv. And now she's working on building a sanctuary for animals and veterans out in Ukraine. And the images of those animals, those pets, is heartbreaking. I've had many meetings with her via Google, and I hear the sirens. She's got pets. They hide.
Right.
I think the first time I interviewed her when we were doing this documentary, there was no power.
Really?
There were no lights. It was winter. It was cold.
All right. We're going to talk more about Kelly Peterson's documentary about the Ukraine when we come back. When will it be done? Do you know?
My goal is to have it finished by the end of the year.
Okay. Oh, that's exciting. Okay, cool. So also, it is you played that song, Conrad, and I didn't even say it was Frankie Valli's birthday.
I'm playing it again right now.
He's like 104, and he still performs, kind of.
And a little bit.
Cinco de Mayo, too. It's fun watching all the people celebrating Cinco de Mayo driving by in flags.
So
I even
fun.
Wrote down it was Cinco de Mayo, and I'm like, hey, what's going on out there? I'm like, oh, yeah. All right, so we're coming back. Kelly Peterson is here. We're going to talk more about our documentary. I'm going to read more of your texts. What's your favorite teen movie, folks? Great to have you with me on Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back. It's a Monday edition of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. I am Pete Schwabba. Conrad, the kid Conrad Krieger riding shotgun. Bridget in the 818 says, The Outsiders, favorite book, favorite teen movie. That is a great choice. You still have time, folks, if you want to share your favorite teen movie with us. And Bridget is not alone. Brian from Green Bay, he's here in the 920. He says, The Outsiders, stay gold. I love it. Let's ask our guest, filmmaker Kelly Peterson. She's kind of a, I'm going to call you a Renaissance woman. I don't know if you get that a lot.
First time, but I like it.
Okay. I feel extra special now. But do you have a favorite teen movie?
Oh, boy. Well, as a teen, I mean, I guess going into my teenage years, I really liked E.T.
Oh, there you go. Great movie.
Yeah.
I always think of the comedies, but that's a great one. Dead Poets Society. There's so many great movies. All right. That's so we were talking about your documentary, Ballerina on the Battlefield, about a Canadian ballet dancer who goes to live in the Ukraine and ends up sheltering pets during war.
Yeah.
You said you're hoping that it will be out by the end of this year. What do you still have to do? Are you still shooting? Are you just completely in post-production?
So I've stopped shooting. I mean, I could keep going and going, but it's a war. So I've stopped taking any more incoming media. And now I am finalizing and touching the writing, and then I'm going into post.
Okay.
Yeah.
And how long do you anticipate you can be done by the end of the year with post? Or
I think so.
Okay.
I think so. I'm a little farther along, but I think I could get there.
Okay. That's exciting.
Yeah.
I write all of the intros for POV and Independent Lens for PBS and introduce the films. And I wish I could do a documentary film. I've strictly always done narrative stuff, but you can't, the emotion and the stories are so real. It's so authentic and genuine. And I'm sure that when people see your film, how is Lana on camera? Is she a good, like, kind of charismatic leading lady, so to speak, for a documentary?
She's genuine. She's Lana. And I think she represents everything that is happening in Ukraine and how she's doing everything what she can do to help the people there. She's amazing.
How close has she been, or the pets for that matter, to these bombings and battles?
Oh, she's been near death at least three or four times. Yes.
Gosh.
She's had Russian drones follow her.
No kidding.
Yeah. It's been closed on many occasions.
Can she leave?
She can.
She can just go back to Canada if she wants, but she's choosing to stay
home
there.
Home is Ukraine.
And how long has she been there?
Oh, boy, since the early 2000s.
No kidding. Okay, so she's got a definite connection.
She does.
How does this compare, your level of passion, with other things you've done?
Oh, well, you mentioned PBS. I worked for PBS for many years.
Oh, fantastic.
Producing documentaries. And, you know, there's always a different, whenever you're working on your next project, there's always that passion. And I think with this project, it's been amazing. I'm very passionate about it because it's a war, and it's a modern war, and we're documenting something we've never seen in our lifetime.
Yeah.
We've got technology. We've got cell phones. We've got things we haven't seen in a modern war that we're using to document. So this film will be a little bit different in the sense that there will be a lot more. There will be a lot more documentation with cell phones and internet and all of everything.
But that makes things easier for you, kind of, right?
It does and it doesn't, because it's hard. I don't have everybody signed on. Like for media liabilities and whatnot, waivers. So the ones I don't have, I have to blur out and use. I have to get creative. So it helps, but it doesn't.
Right.
But I also feel like it's the moment that it's actually happening.
That's pretty cool. I have absolute. Now, how much time have you had to spend over there?
So. That's an interesting question. I have not been to Ukraine. I have photographers that I'm working with who have been over there, and we do the interviews together via Zoom, via whatnot.
Wow.
There's a photographer, Daryl McKay. He lives in Canada. He's been my lead photographer, and he's captured all of the footage, most of the footage, and Lana herself when she goes out on. They call them runs when they take humanitarian aid and medical supplies to the front and to the people who need it the most.
So who do you want to see this film the most?
I want educators, history. I want everybody. I feel that this is going to be how Ukrainians live every day. And sometimes I feel we take our life for granted. We have a bad day. The gas pump isn't working.
Right.
Let's put in perspective what I saw this morning. Air sirens, people running, children running to the bomb shelters. Let's put everything into perspective.
Right. That's fascinating. I think too, like, in the reason I asked that, I think using the pets is something you don't always think about. You just see how horrible war is through different eyes. Like I recently saw the film Warfare. And man, you want to support the troops? Don't send them to stupid wars, or don't send them to wars they don't need to be at. That is how you support the troops.
Right.
So to see these highly trained Navy SEALs in this film and how they react after this horrible bomb goes off, and many of them are concussed, it's like, why would you ever? But it's the same thing with pets. You don't think about how it affects creatures that can't even really defend themselves.
So quick story.
Yeah.
So the photographer I'm working with, Daryl, he was at a train station in Ukraine, and there was a puppy at a it was in the bathroom, and he came out and said, "There's a stranded puppy. There's a lot of them." So Lana's little heart, she went in and she got the puppies, and one now she has as one of their mascots for Ukrainian Patriot.
Oh, nice.
So, but the devastation that they go through, they're shaking. They are so scared. I mean, they don't know, just like children don't know. They just want to be normal, and it's tough.
Listen, I'm scared to go into a men's room, war or not. I don't like. I try to avoid them at all costs anyway, so I totally get that. so I don't mean to. Sometimes I can't help
myself. I like the humor.
So, all right, so you're going to be done at the end of the year. What... do you have distribution lined up? Or are you still trying to work on that? Are you going to go the festival route?
So I'm looking at a few options. I haven't quite decided, but I'll definitely do distribution in terms of selling. And we'll see what that looks like once I've completed. But I'm quite hopeful.
Yeah. My guest is Kelly Peterson. She is an award-winning documentarian and reporter. You've won 4 Emmys.
I have.
You told me. So my probably my last question for the ballerina on the battlefield, how much does your reporting background, how does that help you as a filmmaker?
I think listening is a key aspect of that. Mm. I've learned, if there's one thing I've learned in my journalism career, it has been to actually listen to what people are saying.
Okay.
And I think that's helped a lot. And also the connections that I have to help tell this story. And what I've learned from some amazing people I've worked with from the East Coast to the West Coast.
That's great. And I mean, documentary filmmaking really is reporting.
It is.
You know, you're telling a story just like reporters do.
It is. It is.
That's great. All right. So I want to shift gears here because there's another fact about you that I thought was really interesting. Your grandfather, Harry Ackerman, was kind of a big deal in the TV world. He was he wasn't a producer. He worked for a studio, correct?
He did. Okay. He did. And
tell us about some of the work he does, because this is fascinating.
Oh my goodness. So for those listeners out there, if you were a 60s sitcom fan, you'll appreciate my grandfather. And those who have loved sitcoms, he produced Leave It to Beaver. He brought I Love Lucy from radio to television. He did The Flying Nun.
Jeez.
He did, oh my goodness.
Donna Reed Show.
Dennis the Menace, the Donna
Gidget.
Reed Show. Gidget. Yep.
Dennis the Menace, Bewitched.
I have all these photos at home too with him, with Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in their home in Palm Springs.
Wow.
Yeah. He really taught me a lot. I used to sometimes go, at the time he was working on I Love Lucy. It was another episode that they were remaking right before he died. And I remember going in and watching, and it was amazing.
So you kind of grew up around show business, more or less, it sounds like. Did you grow up in Southern California?
Northern California.
Okay.
Born in Santa Monica, and then moved to Northern California for my mom and dad's work.
Okay.
But we had a lot of family in show business. My grandmother's Eleanor Donahue, who was the oldest daughter and father knows best.
That's so great.
She's still alive in Palm Springs, doing very well.
Nothing makes me more excited than meeting people with connections like that, or just an obscure, although you've been around it, you seem to know a lot of people in show business, but that begs my next question. How did you end up in Northeast Wisconsin?
Well, that is interesting. So my husband, as I mentioned earlier, he was Air Force, ex-military, and
and I said I'd love to be ex-military, but you have to be military before you can be. If I walked around, is that like stolen valor if I just started saying, well, I'm ex-military?
Maybe.
I would never disrespect our armed forces by doing something like that. We have a text for Kelly Conrad. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah.
Conrad's on it, man. On our text line, this is, I can't see anything because the lights went off Tom says, how cool, some of the shows I loved as a child. That's great. So, all right, you're telling us, thank you for the text, Tom.
Yeah, thank you.
So how did you end up here, your husband?
My husband, well, okay. Sort of. So we ended up, he retired in 2016, and we moved from North Dakota because that's where we were relocated.
Okay.
And then there was an executive producer opening at WFRV here in—
No kidding.
Green Bay. So I sent my resume in, and I'll never forget Kevin Osgood, the news director at the time. He emailed me within 5 minutes, and he said, did you really mean to send this here? And he was like kidding. Like, he was joking.
Right.
He's like, you're so overqualified. I said, no, I want to, because my husband's from Wisconsin. So this was home.
Okay. So how long have you been here now?
Oh, I think it's going on 7 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's not that long, really.
I know.
But it's home.
Yeah, it's home now. Yeah, I work at NWTC. Absolutely love it. I teach college courses here, and yeah, love it.
What kind of college courses do you teach?
Oral communication courses, public speaking,
okay,
and English.
Nice.
Yeah.
So what are you doing? Is that all you're doing now? Are you retired from the TV world?
Well, I guess for now.
Okay.
I'm going to be retired until I finish my documentary. And,
okay.
And honestly, I don't know if I want to get into the 24/7 news business again. That's a lot.
It's a lot, but in Green Bay here, it seems like we've had people from local outlets on, And I know they're reporting hard news too, but it seems like they're just sort of in the community. And it seems like a lot of the stuff they get to report on is kind of cool stuff.
It's so cool. Yeah. But as a news director, it's 24/7.
Yeah.
But it's super cool. And we've got, there's very, so many talented people in this market.
Should we talk about some of your awards when we come back?
Sure.
You might as well toot your own horn while you're here. Right?
Oh, well, I'll let you do that.
Get people to take your classes or whatever. But we'll do that, and we'll have more in just a few minutes. Kelly Peterson is sticking around. She's in the studio, going to help me close it down. I'll get back to your texts, and we'll wrap this up nice. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Nightlight, folks. I am Pete Schwabba. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. I always say I can't believe I'm so happy it's Monday because, like, I don't know what to do with myself on the weekends. But we are finally back broadcasting here statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay. Tomorrow night on the show, we are going to talk about the Wisconsin film incentives, which are it's coming up before, I believe, the Senate. But we'll have a guest on tomorrow night at 7:05. University of Wisconsin Stout professor will be here to discuss how important these incentives are, talk about the chances they have to pass. That's at 7:05 tomorrow night. Cliff Wall, who is part of the Parks, what is Cliff's title? Because Cliff has been here in different capacities. He's also on the Parks board for, I just sound like an idiot. I just have to pull this up. And then we're going to talk about, at 6:35, we're going to talk about a comedy contest in Oshkosh. The search to find Oshkosh's funniest person. Conrad is throwing his hat into the ring. He will be doing stand-up comedy. You didn't know that, but I volunteered you, Conrad.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Cliff is he is part of the Friends of Wisconsin State Parks, and he's going to talk about the importance of state parks and what is going on locally here. Cliff was here. Are you guys Packer fans?
Yes.
Kelly, I'm talking to Chris. He didn't want to be on the show, but I'm kind of including him now in the Kelly's husband, Chris, is here. He's the former military.
Yes.
And who is also a pilot. So, Chris, you're being a very good husband, bringing your wife to this nonsense tonight. So thank you for that. But you guys are Packer fans. So we had Cliff was on a few weeks ago, and he brought Sam Venese with him, who is trying to get his brother into the Packer, or he's already in the Packer Hall of Fame. He's trying to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame. Because basically he hired Vince Lombardi, played a very pivotal role in some great Packers teams. So Cliff is a great guy. Cool. He'll be here tomorrow night. So
that's super cool.
Yeah. How did you become a Packer fan? You've only been here 7 years.
Well, this guy. I was a Niners fan because I was in Sacramento and I lived in San Francisco for quite a while. But he's kind of turned me into a Packers fan.
They're kind of one of the most hated rivals, too, I think, of the Packers. Yeah. Because there's some rough games in the past.
Rough.
Yeah, but you like the Bears better than the Niners. Yeah. Well, there's that rivalry. You can't beat the Bears, and I've taken a lot of abuse sometimes on this show from him, from my Bears fandom, because Conrad is a big time Packer fan too. But all right, so we got Conrad. Don't let me forget text because I want to ask Kelly here about Ukrainian Patriot. You're on the board, and this is Lana's your documentary. For those of you just joining us. Kelly's documentary is Ballerina on the Battlefield, and it will be out hopefully by the end of the year, where she follows a woman who shelters pets in the war.
Shelters pets, supplies humanitarian aid, medical supplies to the front line. I mean, she literally gets in a truck with a team and risks her life to get those supplies to where they need to be in the right hands.
That's incredible. So Ukrainian Patriot is her sort of organization?
So she founded, yes. Okay. Yes. So she founded Ukrainian Patriot. And as I got to know Lana and started documenting her, we became really fairly close. And she had asked me, if I would be interested in becoming the chairwoman to represent the United States of America.
Wow.
So that's what I do. I sit on the Ukrainian Patriot, and I'm the chairwoman that represents the U.S., helping to get medical supplies, humanitarian aid, everything but military supplies to the front lines.
That's so so cool. And I'm impressed that you're able to do all this from Northeast Wisconsin. That's
amazing.
How times have changed, right? I mean, yes. The fact that you can do this and make a documentary and not be over in a war-torn country is really advantageous.
It's super cool. Yeah. We were actually up at the Door County Candle Company, and she has a trench candle that we brought up there, and it's still displayed up there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So has Lana been here?
She has.
Okay.
She's been here twice.
Okay.
And we've done tours and introductions and all that good stuff.
That's so great. Well, you'll have to keep us posted on the documentary as it gets closer. We'll have to have you back on. You can tell us how we can see it or film festival screenings or.
Would love it.
But don't go anywhere. I want to ask you one more question about your grandpa, what he did. I'm going to ask you
Grandpa's your
favorite show. So we'll do that after we finish these texts. Jack from Merrimack says, best teen movie, American Graffiti, hands down. Every other one is fluff by comparison, in my opinion. That's Jack from Merrimack. Thank you, Jack. Tom from New Berlin says, my dad is a TV repairman. He's got the ultimate set of tools. I read that one. I should have read the other one first. He says, when Spicoli has a pizza delivered to the classroom, he's just telling us his favorite moments of Fast Times. That's fantastic. Thank you, Tom. Steve from Florida. Did I read your dad's text?
Not yet.
I did not. I cannot let family go by the wayside here. Steve, Conrad's dad from Florida, says, I can't really pick just one, like Lay's potato chips, because they're also good. Hoosiers, Rudy, Caddyshack. Yes. Back to the Future, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Better Off Dead, Grease, the original Willy Wonka, and The Chocolate Factory. All epic classics. Could not agree more, Steve. That's awesome. And Dolores, I don't know if I read Dolores' text. She's in the 608. She says, one of my favorite movies is Karate Kid. Mm. Another great teen, not a comedy, but a drama. These are all fantastic, folks. Thank you so much for your text and being part of Nightlight. And thank you to Mike Siegel for being on the show, Kelly Peterson for being here in the studio. Do you have a favorite show that your grandpa worked on?
Well, I really loved Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorites. He did Bewitched too.
Bewitched was huge too.
Huge.
That was
He did Bewitched, and he has a funny story about, he told us when he was in studio with Elizabeth Montgomery. And yeah, I mean, there are
we have about
so
20
good.
Seconds.
I know.
So let's save that for next time.
We'll save
you'll
it
come
for
back,
next time.
You'll talk about your documentary being that much closer, and we'll get into some more of that stuff. Thank you so much for being here, Kelly.
Thank
this
you
is fun.
So much
and thank
for
you
having me.
For riding Shotgun Chris, staying off camera. I don't tease former military because I don't need to get in a headlock on my own show. Thank you also to the lovable producer, Conrad. We are coming back tomorrow night. We're going to do this all over again. Good night, Wisconsin. I'll sing it to your best friend's house, Mama Lane, we're making out, oh yeah, oh yeah. I'll sing it to your best friend's house, I loved you then and I love you now. Oh, don't take me time. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.